Isaiah chapter number 55. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. And I'm going to read for the sake of time. I'll be preaching in the chapter. For the sake of time, I want to start reading in verse number 6. The Bible said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, I don't know why, but I tell you, I was reading this scripture. Brother John called me last night and said, "You studying, preacher? I'm praying for you." But I never have seen this before. Look at verse number 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Do you understand in the context, God is talking about being merciful. He's talking about forgiving somebody that's wicked. And he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts and my ways. My ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for the folks that gather, the folks that give, for our missionaries, our Father, that are helping us to spread this precious gospel around the world. Now, Father, this morning I pray you'd clothe us in our calling. I pray, dear God, that you'd just meet with us this morning for a little while. There could be somebody here this morning, Lord, there is no doubt, according to their own testimonies, our Father, that needs you, that needs this forgiveness, needs this pardon, needs this mercy that you have to offer. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you'd help this preacher, Lord, to be found faithful. Lord, would you clothe us in a calling, and may the Spirit of God give us, our Father, the unction that we need to speak the Word of God. And Lord, may you unctionize as well the hearing of the Word of God today. God will give you glory. Thank you for these, Lord, that have been saved and following you, Lord, obeying you in believers' baptism. Thank you, God, for the precious families that you've sent to us here that Bible way. Help us now to honor you. Help the families that are bereaved. Help those that are sick, our Father, and suffering today. Help those, Lord, that are recovering from the surgeries, those that will face surgery this week. God, I pray you'd help them. Pray especially, Lord, for Miss Brenda laying there in the ICU. God, the family can't help her. The doctors can't help her. But God, you can help her. I pray, Lord, if you're not going to help her get better here, help her across the river, Lord. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you for a little while on "My thoughts are not your thoughts," and "My ways are not your ways." About the doctrine or the teaching concerning forgiveness in this chapter, forgiving the mentioning the pardon in this chapter. To pardon means to free. It's the free, merciful act of God forgiving sin and removing its penalty. Aren't you glad you've been forgiven? Aren't you glad that the penalty has been removed? The Word of God said this, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The penalty for sin, beloved, is death. And it's not just physical death. It's the second death. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." And the Word of God said, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. There's only one reason, beloved, that I'm not going to burn forever. And it's because of the truths that are presented in this chapter, amen, concerning the forgiveness of my Heavenly Father that he has to offer to all. Let me dive into the chapter and just give you what the Lord has spoke to my heart about. Go back with me to verse number 1. The Bible said, "Hear, ho, stop and listen. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, Buy and eat, yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. I see in this scripture the price of forgiveness. Beloved, listen, you can't pay the price. The Bible said it's without money and without price. The price of forgiveness is to be found at Calvary. It's Jesus that went to the cross and paid, beloved, your sin debt and my sin debt so that we could be pardoned from our sin and be free, not only from the guilt of sin, but free from the penalty of sin. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The Bible said that people are laboring for that which satisfieth not. I tell you, they get this something new and this something new, and they're still not satisfied. They've got 100,000 and not satisfied. Aiming for 500,000 and not satisfied. Aiming for 1,000,000 and not satisfied. Aiming for 2,000,000 and still not satisfied. Because there's only one that'll satisfy the soul of man. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God said, what are you spending money for that which is not bread? I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life, beloved. And the price was paid at Calvary so that you and I could be forgiven of our sin. The Bible said this, and I've read this. One time I had this chapter memorized, but I never thought about the whole chapter. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. If I was presented with the problem that God was presented with, I don't know what I would have done. But I tell you, God didn't even have to think about it. Say amen. Before the foundation of the world, he said, the Son of Man is going to go and give his life that the sons of men might become the sons of God, that they might be forgiven of their sin. Amen. That lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Adam's going to mess up. Eve's going to mess up. You've messed up. You've been inherited it, amen. But thank God the price has been paid and you can be satisfied. But in all my years, I never thought about this like this. Look in verse number 3. Incline your ear. God says, would you listen? Come unto me. Hear. Over and over, that's what this word ho means that starts the chapter. Hearken. God said, would you listen? Would you listen to me? He said, incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. The word of God said, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I tell you, last night God got a hold of my heart right there. Well, listen, you say, Pastor, what is he trying to say? He's trying to say, what have you done worse than David did? Amen. Listen, David looked. David lusted. David sent for Bathsheba. David slept with Bathsheba. David tried to cover it up. David had her husband killed. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God said, just as sure as I had mercy on David, I can have mercy on you. It don't matter what you've done. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen. The Bible said, if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, I tell you, if you ever get a hold of that, Brother John, it keeps people from looking down their long nose and thinking they're better than somebody else. Amen. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're wicked sinners. That's what the Bible said. And God said, listen, even the sure mercies of David, I had mercy on that man after my own heart. Listen, David not only sinned there, and beloved, listen, he lost his son as a result of it. And listen, the sword never left his house as a result of it. But when David numbered the people, he rebelled against God and he sinned again. I'm telling you, I serve a God this morning that's got plenty of mercy. And oh, you listen to me. There's a lot of preachers in the house, but they wouldn't none of us be preaching if it wasn't for a merciful God. We would have done been thrown out. Amen. But thank God for forgiveness. His thoughts are not our faults. His ways are not our ways. We look at somebody sometimes, I spent 10 years of my life in prison. There's people that wouldn't have given those people the time of day. But I'll tell you, my Lord, hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you something, beloved. He can look past the hair. He can look past the tattoos. He can look past the cursing that's coming out of their mouth and see a heart that needs to be washed in the blood of Calvary's cross. Even the sure mercies of David. We see the price of forgiveness, but we see the picture. God said, let me tell you what I did for David. I'll do the same thing for you. Amen. And then we see a prophecy concerning forgiveness. I'm not getting real excited about this. Somebody, Vince, throw me my water down here, brother. I come up here without it. One of them's open, one of them's empty. I mean, one of them's not open. Just give me that one right there. Thank you, brother. Amen. If you do that in the name of Jesus, there'll be a reward. How many's read your Bible? Amen. All right. Let's look at this now. There's a prophecy concerning forgiveness. You may not get excited about this, but you ought to. And by the way, we're running a real dangerous risk in our country. They're raising up everywhere. I'm talking about people that's against Israel. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about people raising up, and they're raising up everywhere. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We ought to thank God for Israel. And we ought to pray for Israel. Look what the Bible said in verse number 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. You know what the prophecy concerning forgiveness is? Listen, Israel's the apple of God's eye. But he said, there's a day coming. Amen. Oh, thank God over there. John chapter number 1, he came unto his own. And his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? God said the Gentiles are dogs. But thank God there come a day when he included the Gentiles. He said, you're going to call a nation that you don't even know right now. Amen. And going to include them in the forgiveness of God. We wouldn't be here today. I don't think there's any Jews in the house today. We're Gentiles. Amen. But we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God reaching out to the Gentile nation and say, come on in. He tore down the wall, the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and made of one a body of Christ. Amen. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. The promise to Abraham still stands. Amen. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. I'll tell you there. I'll go ahead and name his name. But John Fetterman, he's a Democrat that said this. He said, if my party ever turns its back on Israel, I'll be done with my party. Amen. He's a pretty sharp fellow, if you ask me. Amen. I wondered in the beginning, but the more I listen to him, the more I think he's got a brain. Amen. And he's got a heart, and he's using it. Amen. I want you to know, beloved, listen to that prophecy. The Bible said, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee. Glory to God. Do you understand that God is using us? I'm talking about right here in America to send missionaries around the world. I'm looking this morning about a ministry. I believe I'm going to have this fellow in, Victory Baptist Press. They're printing Bibles in languages all over the world. I'll get to that in a minute, the importance of the Word of God. Amen. And I believe it's important to understand, listen, that it's good that God in his mind and heart included the Gentiles because he knew down in the ages to come that we'd be sending the gospel around the world. Amen. Look at verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now watch this. I want you to see this. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I see in this text right here, there is a plan. God has a plan. First of all, let me say, his plan includes conviction. Nobody ever got saved without the Spirit of God convicting their heart of sin. You say, Pastor, where did you find that in the text? The Word of God said, seek ye the Lord, listen, while he may be found. You know when he can be found? When he comes near. Are you listening to me? And he speaks to that sinner's heart. I'm telling you, it's one of the most dangerous things you'll ever do in this world is turn your back on the Lord when he's speaking to your heart. I'm telling you, beloved, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You say, Pastor, can he be found? Oh, yes. But listen, he's always the one that initiates it. Amen. He comes looking for you, and when he's looking for you and he convicts your heart, he can be found. Amen. Of them that seek him. The Bible said, let the wicked forsake his way. Not only does it include conviction, but includes repentance. Did you hear that? The Bible in the book of Acts teaches two things, repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, let the wicked forsake his way. Oh, listen, even that woman that was taking adultery, Jesus said, get up, go, and sin no more. Don't you keep on in your adulterous lifestyle. Amen. I've forgiven you. Now go and sin no more. God don't want us, beloved, listen, to continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin? Paul said, God forbid. Amen. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That don't mean we're going to be perfect, but it means we have a perfect Father. And when we blow it, there's mercy that'll be forgiven. It'll be given to those that need that forgiveness, that plan of forgiveness. There's repentance, and then there's faith. If I looked at this verse of Scripture, actually I made that mistake last night. It was this morning that God showed me that I made a mistake. Listen, you see the plan of forgiveness, and the Bible talks about the pardon there. That's that free, merciful act of God forgiving sin, removing its penalty. But if you looked at that, you might say, well, boy, that pardon, that's the most important thing in that verse. Let me tell you what the most important thing in the verse is. It's not the pardon, it's the person. Watch what the Word of God said here. Let him return unto the Lord. He, that little word, he. And then the Word of God said, have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's only one that can offer forgiveness. Amen. And that's the Lord. Hallelujah. There's that person of forgiveness. Really, it all boils down to this, what you do with Jesus. You turn your back on Jesus, you reject Jesus, you'll bust hell wide open. But if you'll receive him, to receive Jesus is to receive the gift of God. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, beloved friend, we see the plan, we see the pardon, we see the purpose. I mean, the person of forgiveness. But let me give you this. Let me give you the promise of forgiveness. I want you to see this. The Bible said here, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now see, verse 10 and verse 11 go together. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be. You say, Pastor, how do you know that God will forgive a person? I'll tell you right here's how I know. It's written in this book. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then are they going to call on him in whom they've not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach unless they be sent? Amen. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And that's not just the pulpit preacher. That's anybody that'll take the Word of God and share it with somebody else that needs a Savior. I'm going to tell you this, beloved. I'm speaking to me and speaking to you. I believe if we had as much confidence as we ought to have in the Word of God, that we'd be sharing it more often. If we really believed that the Word of God was quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, if we really believed that the Word of God would never return void, I read a gospel tract sitting in a doctor's office. I looked over there and I'm just sitting there minding my own business waiting on the doctor. It was a urologist that I was seeing. I was in my 20s. And I looked over there and it said, how to miss heaven by 16 inches. And I thought, my goodness, how do you get that close? Let me just say this. Judas got closer than that. He kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. Are you listening to me? Amen. And I got curious about that. And I picked, you know what? Somebody believed that word of God has power. And you know what they did? They took that gospel tract and laid it on that little table right there in that waiting room. I've gotten on elevators before, and I've left them on elevators before, and I've seen them on elevators. I pick them up, read them, put them back. You say, why would you do that? Because there's a lot of false stuff being put out there. You say, if it's false, what do? I wad it up and put it in my pocket and look for the nearest trash can. You say, boy, I'd be afraid to do that. I'm not.
Amen.
You hand me one of them other Bibles, and I know what to do with it. Somebody say amen. I'm not afraid to do that. I'm going to tell you this. I got on the elevator over at Johnson City Medical Center, had somebody with me visiting, Brother Vince, and I took a gospel tract out of my pocket and I stuck it behind that little thing there where all them numbers are. They said, why'd you do that, preacher? I said, that's just in case somebody wants to go higher than the seventh floor. I believe the Word of God has power.
Amen.
Amen. If you really believe that, you'll get you some tracts when you leave here today. If you really believe that, you won't be telling people what you think. You'll be telling them what God said. The Bible said the Word of God will not return void. Brother Tyler, did I tell you and your wife in the garage that day, y'all just need to come to church. You need to join up in their church. I didn't tell you that. Didn't even mention it. What they needed was not a church. They needed Christ. They needed Jesus. You're here today lost. You don't need a church. Oh, I'm for the church. But you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. I don't know how many times, Brother John, in 13 years you've said to me, preacher, if I don't get it done, it ain't going to get done. If we'll just preach the Word of God. If we'll just preach the Word. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's the Word of God that'll get the job done. Do we really believe that? There's the promise of forgiveness. And it's found right here in this book. It's not found anywhere else. You can get you a Koran, but it ain't going to have the promise of forgiveness in it. God said, I'll abundantly. He had to put that word in front of pardon. I mean, it's so high, much higher than we can even think. So are His thoughts higher than our thoughts. His ways higher than our ways. Young lady, the sitting back there that we baptized this morning. Let me just say this to you. Listen, everybody needs to get a hold of this. I wanted to talk to her about some things on Wednesday night. It's getting close to 7 o'clock. And I actually sat there during the service wondering if I did the right thing. I really did. You say, now, Pastor, why would you even wonder if you did? Well, right there at the end of our conversation, I said, honey, are you saved? It's already about 3 minutes till 7. Service is supposed to be getting started. And she looked at me and said, I want to be saved.
Amen.
What's wrong with asking somebody, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Just get it there where the rubber meets the road. Amen. But I sat here, Brother Dale, on Wednesday night wondering. You say, Pastor, why would you even wonder? I'll tell you why. Because I really believe Jesus could come at any moment. What would have been on me? In other words, I guess if I had it to do over again, I'd have said, Jason, take it, or Vince, take it. Somebody take it. I got something more important than the service. You say, Pastor, what are you trying? It's urgent. You're here this morning, you said, I might get saved next Sunday. I might get saved a little later in life. Honey, there's no guarantee that you'll have another breath. None whatsoever. Oh, beloved friend, thank God it worked out. Thank God it worked out. And Nevaeh, her heart was tender. She said yes to Jesus. So shall my word be. There's the promise of forgiveness. Watch this. I just a couple more things and I'm done. I don't even know how many of these things are here. It don't matter. But God give me these things, and I wanted to share them with you. The Bible said here in verse number 12, "For ye shall go out with joy, and ye shall be led forth with peace." You know who's got real peace this morning? Sister Carol knows it's been forgiven. We lay down at night, and there may be some restless nights, but it's not over our own soul. We're concerned about the soul of someone else. Because one of the evidences of being forgiven is God will flood your soul with peace like a river. Amen. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get it anywhere else. It'll only come through the forgiveness of God and the pardon of God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Notice the last verse here. The Bible said here shall go out, the last couple of verses, with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And that shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here's how I close the message today, with the purpose of forgiveness. Brother Vince, we were born under a curse. These scriptures right here are talking about the same thing that's going on in Romans chapter 8. The whole world is waiting in travail to get out from under that curse. Did you know the only way you'll ever get out from under the curse of sin is to meet a holy God that offers mercy? I like what one preacher said. I believe it was Brother Mays years ago. He said, justice called. That's conviction. Justice called. You sorry, low down. Oh, let me tell you something right now. If God ever gets a hold of your heart, you won't be talking about how good you are. You say, well, Pastor, what if it's just a youngin'? I'm going to tell you something. Even a youngin', even 8 years old, when God gets a hold of that heart, and tears run like a river because they know they've sinned. It don't matter if you're 8 or 80. When God gets a hold of your heart, listen to me. Justice called. That's that conviction. But when mercy answers, justice shows you exactly what you deserve. And then mercy answers, amen. Said, I've got a pardon for you. I've got forgiveness for you. Years ago, I read an illustration. I can't remember where I read it, but I read an illustration about a fellow that was in prison, and the governor offered a pardon, and he rejected the pardon, and he could do nothing but be executed because he rejected the governor's pardon. Did you know that God, now listen, you can differ with me if you want to. One preacher said, you have a right to be wrong. Amen. But God offers that pardon to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank God I have a Savior. It doesn't matter if people are poor. Don't matter if they're rich. It don't matter if they're over in Africa drinking dirty water. If they're here in America drinking clean water. It don't matter what color they are. My God loves them. My God wants to pardon them. Oh, wouldn't it be something in America to have meetings like they do over there, where they don't want you to quit in an hour or 2 hours, where they'll walk for hours and ride bicycles to get there and sit in the sweltering sun, amen, just a little hut sometimes built over their head and say, give us the Word of God. Give us the Word of God. There's places in the world right now where they share pages of the Word of God. One family gets this page for a while, and then they trade pages. And we got the whole book, several of the whole books. May God help us today to understand, amen, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. When it comes to forgiveness, I can promise you this. He's waiting. Some people picture Jesus as having a ball bat in his hand and just can't wait to hit you in the head with it. He's waiting with open arms, with mercy, with pardon, with forgiveness. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here in the house of God. Lord, thank you for touching my body. I didn't even know if I could preach this morning. Thank you for touching us, helping us. God, you're worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Lord, if you'd be so kind as to come by somebody's heart today, squeeze their heart, Lord. Help them to know, Lord, there's no future in sin. There's no future in remaining under the curse. Lord, you want to get them out from under the curse of sin. You want to pardon them. Could be today, Lord, that there's a child of God here. Maybe been dabbling somewhere they got no business dabbling. Maybe like David, Lord, they'd be saved forever. And yet, God, there's something going on in their life that needs to be cleansed. Lord, I'm glad you have mercy. I'm glad you will abundantly pardon. Lord, I believe the church house would be empty today if that were not the truth. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Lord, I pray you'll work in hearts today. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around for just a moment.